All right, and be turning in your Bibles back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we are concluding our study of the book of 2 Thessalonians in verses 16 through 18. Today we're going to see Paul's personal farewell. Now, Paul is using what he does as his standard signature farewell in ending this epistle, focusing again on God's grace and God's peace. Not only can you look back at the beginning of this epistle, but in the beginning of every epistle, as Paul begins in this manner. If you come back with me to the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, these basic things that Paul is coming back to focus on are something that many times we are forgetting in our lives, but the very things that we need to be focusing on. In these three last verses of 2 Thessalonians, we're going to be seeing God's peace, God's messenger, and God's grace. We've studied a lot of different things coming down through 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians. But let's pray that the Lord would reveal to us and help us to see the importance of the simple things, the things that Paul chooses to focus on at the beginning and the end of all of his epistles. There's a reason for it, and that's what we're hoping that the Lord will help us to see today. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get straight into what it is that the Lord has for us today. Lord, I thank you so much for everything that we've seen coming down through both 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the need that we've been focusing on to die to ourselves daily, to rely upon the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit every day, and not to give control to the flesh. Lord, I pray as we, again, look at these basic issues of our relationship with you as Paul concludes this epistle with them, that we would be able to see in our lives the need to make sure that we are keeping these things in our heart, that they are a reality for our everyday walk with you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 16, we see God's peace. In verse, well, specifically verse 16, it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you." Now, instead of just saying the peace of God or the peace of the Lord, he specifically identifies that God himself is the controller of whether or not we have peace. He is the God of peace. And it's interesting this time of year because people are always thinking about peace on earth. It's something that's mentioned so many times, even in the world. You know, some of the Christmas carols I hear singing is like they lose the sight and the focus on Jesus Christ, and they change it around into something of this general hope that that there will all be, everybody will get along in peace and harmony. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that desire. But that's not what God's focus was. The focus of him coming here on earth was to show that he is peace. If you look back with me in Luke chapter 2, in verses 8 through 14, which is the account of the angel's message to the shepherds, and the verse which is so often misquoted this time of year, it says, beginning in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Is that what it says?
No.
No, it says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. See, that's how everybody changes it to peace on earth. They think that, okay, we're going to have everybody is going to be in peace and harmony, living together, and that's the Christmas message. No, that's not the Christmas message, and that's not why Paul continues to go back and focus on it at the beginning of every single one of his epistles, and many of his epistles end with that same signature. You know what? Peace that the Lord is referring to in Scripture is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know, the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, you can see here, well, that He is the Lord of peace, the God of peace. If you come back with me to Isaiah chapter 9, one of the most famous prophecies of the birth of Christ, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace, as Paul refers to him in the end of 2 Thessalonians. He is the God of Peace. He's the focus of peace, and He's the only means by which we can have peace with God and a true peace, which is not just a temporal lie that's going to go away. What God is offering to mankind is peace with God through Jesus Christ. Him being the Lord of peace, the God of peace, the Prince of peace, He is therefore the only source of true peace that we have. And that is really the Christmas message. As Jesus Christ came down, and this isn't the Christmas message, this is the conclusion to 2 Thessalonians, but the focus of this time of year so many times is lost. We need to remember, as Paul is concluding this letter, that peace can only come from the Lord of peace. If you look with me over at Romans chapter 10, even for the very salvation which we have, of course, we know that that was established by the Lord of peace. In Romans chapter 10, the gospel that we preach is connected with that same title. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, it says, And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Just like what the angel was saying. Hey, we're bringing forth glad tidings. Why? Because you know what? There's a truth, a gospel of peace, being able to establish that peace with God through what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Right here in Romans as well, in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is something that each and every one of us has accepted. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you've accepted that salvation that is only through Him, and the peace that you have with God is only through Jesus Christ. But at the very end of this epistle, Paul is reminding us again of the fact that, you know what? You need to remember that the Lord of peace is the only one who can give you that peace. Not just establish the peace so that you can have salvation, but an ongoing, continuing fellowship with God. Look again at the passage and the verse that we're studying right now. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. Always by all means. Now peace is the peace that comes from God is not something that should ever go away. No matter what's taking place in our life, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're having to suffer, you know what? We should still have the peace of God. The times that we lose it is because we've forgotten where it comes from. We've forgotten that the Lord of peace is the only one who can give us peace. By all means, whatever it takes, whatever we're going through, we can trust in Him. We can return to Him. We can go to Him. We can have that peace. you look with me over at Philippians, famous verse here as well, Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can keep that peace with you. You will maintain that peace constantly if you're relying upon God, if you're trusting in Him, if you're remembering that He is the only true source of peace. This is what Paul is reminding us at the very end of this book. If we're going to be able to suffer, if we're going to be able to die to ourselves daily in order to accomplish that which the Lord wants to do through us, you better be relying upon the peace that you can only obtain through God. There's an interesting part of this, these two verses that we look here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It starts out by saying, be careful for nothing. You don't want to be full of care. Well, if you compare this to a story that is also common back over in Luke chapter 10, the account of Mary and Martha, when the Lord is in their house, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, it says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She's full of care. He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, she's troubled. She's full of care. She's busy. She's doing something good. But you know what? She's not focused on the one thing that can truly give her peace. And that's what Mary is focusing on. Mary is focusing on that, you know what? She's listening to His words. She's having the time where she's with the Lord in fellowship, just like you and I need to be in fellowship with Him every day, maintaining that special intimacy that we can only have through Him. Therefore, we can have peace. Now, this is not just some kind of a set thing where you can punch a time clock and read your Bible once a day and then, okay, you're guaranteed the peace of God. You know what? When you're in fellowship with Him, truly in fellowship with the Lord, trusting, relying upon Him, turning to Him through His Word, turning to Him through prayer, you will have peace. And if you don't, then there's something that's broken down in your personal fellowship with the Lord. You may be doing something that's very good. You may be very busy serving the Lord. But if you're not focusing on what's most important, you won't have peace. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us that we need to maintain. If you look with me over at Colossians chapter 3, Paul is concluding 2 Thessalonians because he wants us to hold peace in our heart, to keep it real. He said, before I read that passage in Colossians chapter 3, he says again, back over in the verse we're studying, he says, the last thing, the Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you. That's the focus of our personal relationship with Him. That's the only way that you're going to have that peace, maintaining it in your heart at all times. If you look with me over Colossians chapter 3, starting off in verse 14, he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What's the most important thing is our personal relationship with Christ. That personal relationship with Christ. And then he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That that relationship with the Lord being maintained so that the peace of God rules in your heart. It's awesome the way he says it there, because you know what? It's not, first off, it's a command, and it's also showing that, you know what? It's people who are driven by chaos, people who are allowing the circumstances of life, the things that they're going through, to dominate them, to control them. That's what's ruling them. And the Word of God says, you know what? You need to let the peace of God rule your heart. Why? Because above everything else, you're focusing on your intimate relationship with Him. Again, the Lord be with you all. That's the only way you're going to have peace. It's the only way it's going to be maintained. Come back again to the passage. Because in the middle, in between, where Paul is talking about God's peace and God's grace, he lists the reality of his personal signature here. In verse 17 of the passage we're studying, he says, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write." So you know what? This is how I'm concluding all my epistles. And if you go to the very next verse, it's not that we have his literal signature at the bottom of this epistle. We have his signature right here when he talks in the very next verse, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You know what? That's in every single one of his epistles. And Paul identifies himself at the end, just like he identified himself at the beginning, noting, you know what? This is me writing to you. The importance of this being right in between God's peace and God's grace is to remind us that God's messenger to us is Paul. In every single one of his epistles, in every single one, he is identifying himself to us so that we can know, hey, this is directly for us. Because ultimately, there's a lot of people who think, well, you know what, I do apply the Word of God. But if you're misapplying something that's out of context, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace, and you're also not going to be experiencing God's grace like you should. Paul identifies here, again, the Lord of peace is Jesus Christ. But Paul himself is the apostle of grace, the apostle for this dispensation. Many times in many different verses, you can look in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, over in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, probably one of the clearest verses which Paul indicates himself as such. He says in verse 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." This is an office which he has, which he, the Lord has given directly to him to accomplish something, to give to the Gentiles. If you look over in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 2, I don't want Ephesians chapter 5, I want Ephesians chapter 3. That was a misprint. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 2, it says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me, Paul, to you ward, the Gentiles." This is what Paul was given. He says down in verse 8, the same chapter, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." This is something that was very specific for Paul. Paul was given grace to preach among the Gentiles. He is the apostle of that grace, of the message of grace, which is specifically for us. If you look with me over at 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, he lays it out here, the reality of who he is and why. Beginning in verse 14, he says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So you know what? God saved me by that grace so that I myself would be an example of the message which I'm taking to you Gentiles. That it is all his mercy, all his long-suffering, all his grace, exceeding abundant, which he is offering to you and to me. This is the apostle, which therefore lays out not just this incredible example, but also the very doctrine which we are to follow. We look at Jesus Christ as the source of our peace, and as we're going to see in a moment, the source of our grace. But we also need to understand that he specifically set Paul as the source of our doctrine. This is why he concludes in this matter, to remind us again, you know what? You want that peace? You want that grace that you can only get through Jesus Christ? Then you better be, again, remembering the messenger who God was utilizing. Come with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you, exactly like he said over in Ephesians, he said, to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God. Not just in his life, but in the thing which he was teaching, the truth, the doctrine which he was laying forth for us to receive. The testimony at the very end of Paul's life, as we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. The very last epistle which he's writing, the very last few verses which Paul wrote chronologically in his life, he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The purpose for which God had sent Paul specifically, to complete the mission, to lay out not just a picture of the grace and the salvation which we receive, but all the doctrine which we need to follow, was laid out completely in his epistles. He completed that mission. He said that the preaching might be fully known, fully, completely. It was a done deal. When Paul finished his epistles, all the doctrine which we need to obtain, which we need to live by, is right here contained in the Pauline epistles for us. Now the entire Word of God is to us. We can learn from the entire Word of God from the beginning to the very end. But doctrine was specifically given to us through Paul. Back over in chapter 2 and verse 15 of 2 Timothy, famous verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding what is doctrinally written to me is the very key to be able to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There's no way to obtain that if you're trying to apply something which does not doctrinally apply. I look what Paul says over in Philippians chapter 4. Following the truth through the doctrine which Paul had committed to us is not only God's will, the only way that we'll be able to experience all the grace that he has for us and all the peace that he has for us. Philippians chapter 4, we remember in this passage in verses 6 and 7 where it talked about relying on your personal relationship with the Lord to be able to have the peace of God. But look what he says down in verse 9. Those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want to have that peace that Paul's talking about at the very end of 2 Thessalonians, remember who the messenger of God used, who he used to give us an example of how we needed to live our lives. Somebody says, well, no, I can experience the grace of God without the doctrine of Paul. No, you can't. Not in this dispensation. You cannot experience the grace of God without the doctrine of Paul, because it is the doctrine of Paul which teaches us that we have salvation by grace through faith, with no works whatsoever. That is the reality for our dispensation. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's not just for our salvation. It's going on. It's continuing in that grace. It's continuing in that personal relationship. It's maintaining that peace with God, with the God of peace, is through the truth which Paul has given to us. Paul said in a brief verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Following the Lord in this dispensation is only accomplished by following the doctrine of Paul. Again, all the Word of God for us, just not all the Word of God to us. All the Word of God can edify us. We can learn from any part of Scripture whatsoever. But the only way that you're going to live according to God's plan for your life is to know what God wants you to do doctrinally today. And that's the only way you'll have peace. That's the only way you'll accomplish working through His grace. Just as you hold peace in your heart, letting it rule over your life by maintaining that intimate relationship with the Lord, you have to hold truth in your heart. Look with me over at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me." Who's writing? Paul. So if he says, "nor of me," it's saying, you know what? You don't only be ashamed. Don't not. Okay. I don't have too many double negatives here. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, but also don't be ashamed of Paul, of the truth which God has given to us through him. He says, "nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Hold it in your heart. Look what he says down in verse 13. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You hold that truth in your heart so that you can continue to grow in your personal relationship with the Lord, so that you can continue to maintain that peace of God in your heart, and so that you can continue to experience His grace. Come back over to the passage we're studying with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, now down to verse 18. The classic signature of Paul. There is not a single epistle which he has written to us that he did not end referring back to the grace of God. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Then, well, how can you continue to say something new or different about a verse that concludes, or that is right at the conclusion of every single one of his epistles? You know what? It's not about saying something new and different. It's about remembering the same things. The same things that he starts this epistle with, that he ends this epistle with, and every other one. Remembering, this is all about living under the truth of the gospel of grace. The God of grace, just like we saw from the God of peace, is the only way to obtain that grace. Again, now talking about starting off with our very salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For the grace of God, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We understand that. We had to have that grace in order to be saved. This is the dispensation of grace. We preach the gospel of grace. This is the reality that we have to accept in order to be saved in this dispensation, but it's also the reality that we must continue on, looking toward the God of grace to be able to complete and accomplish everything He wants us to in this dispensation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul tells his charge, who is already saved. "Thou therefore," in verse 1, 2 Timothy 2:1, "thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Looking to the only source of that grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the source, not just for salvation, but for us to be able to continue on doing everything He wants us to accomplish. Look with me back over in Ephesians chapter 4, where we were earlier. And we saw how Paul had this ministry which the Lord had committed to him in chapter 3. But in chapter 4, he also talks about what we have received. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, we all got the same amount of grace in order to be saved. But you know what? He continues to give us grace in order to serve him, in order to do what we need to do to accomplish his will in this dispensation. It says over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith." You know what? God is going to continue to grant you and give you that grace as long as you're doing what? Continuing to walk in the Spirit. You're continuing to walk according to truth. You're making sure that your life is lining up with the Word of God so that He can accomplish what He needs to through you. That is why He continues to give you grace. If grace were only about salvation, Paul would not begin and end every one of his letters to saved believers with grace and grace again. It is about our ongoing relationship with Him, relying upon His grace to get us through the day, in order to die to ourselves daily, in order to accomplish His will, in order to walk in the Spirit, to labor in His grace. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And just as Paul said over in Ephesians 4:7, you know what? Every one of us have received a measure of grace. What are you doing with the measure of grace you've received? The amount of grace that God has given to you, are you laboring according to that grace? Are you depending upon that grace to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Speaking to saved believers, he is not talking about losing their salvation. He is talking about them receiving the measure of grace that the Lord gives beyond salvation for us to be able to serve Him. If you do nothing with it, you are receiving that grace in vain. Paul says, you know what, I beseech you, don't do that. Focus on the truth that gives us the grace of God to continue serving and ministering to Him in the dispensation of grace. Hold grace in your heart. Just as you maintain that personal relationship with the Lord through the truth of His Word, holding that in your heart. You know what? I think it's very easy for Christians to forget what's most important. Focusing on anything else other than the personal relationship with the Lord, and as they go out to serve Him, forgetting, being busy about doing things instead of focusing on that which is most important, their intimate relationship with Him. When you go out and serve Christ, it's not about your ability. It's not about what, you know, and I got to say, you know, these, you can probably go out and find a bazillion, maybe only half a bazillion, but it's pretty close up there on the internet of places that you can go find these spiritual tests and find out what it is your gifts are, what it is that you have the talent in order to do, and that's how God's going to use you. Listen, what God wants to accomplish through you has got nothing to do with your ability. God will give you what you need to accomplish His will. His gifts are what you need in order to be able to be used of Him. That is the grace that He gives you. The grace for me to be able to learn Spanish in Panama. You know what? That was not a gift. English was one of my worst subjects going through school. I did not have the gift of tongues. I did not have the gift of being able to learn languages. You know what? God gave me the grace I needed to accomplish His will. That's what we need to look for. Not what are my great abilities that God can use? How can I benefit God? We go to God like we're laying out a resume. Look at, you know, and selling ourselves to God. Hey, look, you know, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I can do this and I can do this and I can use this and I can do this. And that's how you can use me. You know what God says? Let's just crumple that thing up. And you depend on my grace. That's how I want to use you. That's what God wants to do through us. Simple, simple truth, easily forgotten. Come back with me over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Very basic here, just like Paul is ending the book of 2 Thessalonians, focusing on these basics. I'll pick it up again starting in verse 14. He says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Most important thing, your personal relationship with Christ. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." There's the truth. Dwelling inside of you, holding that also in your heart, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, we make an application of that, and if you don't know, that's why, again, we focus on psalms and hymns and then spiritual songs, as the Lord is laying out. When we're talking about our time to worship and singing out. But you know what? When this is talking about singing, it's not even talking about your voice here. It's talking about the reality of the joy that you have where? In your heart. Because of what? The grace that is there. Is there grace in your heart? I mean, just look at your own life. Right now, do you have peace? Are you focusing on the truth that the Lord has given and committed to us through Paul? Are you working through His grace, depending upon Him? These are the basics. The very basics of what God is calling us to do. If you want to accomplish what God has for you, don't forget the basics. This is what the Lord is laying out for us. Not just here. But like I said, this is Paul's signature farewell that you can find in all of his epistles. He doesn't mention peace in every single one, but he does mention grace in every single one without fail. There's a reason. Don't forget the simple things that the Lord is laying out. We're going to be going on into next year, into a new study, a new book, which is going to be announced at a later time. We're going to be following a new specific annual vision. Let me tell you something. You better not forget to die to yourself. Because whatever it is that the Lord wants to accomplish through you, if you forget those basic things about walking in the Spirit, you're not going to accomplish anything that God wants for you next year or any year. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of your word. I want to thank you again for this incredible study that we've come through this whole year, looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The example of a body of believers who are walking in the Spirit, who are growing in their relationship with you, who are dying to themselves in order to get through the suffering and the persecution which they were having to go through. All because they loved you, Lord, focused on you. Lord, I pray that we would see these truths, not just as a reality historically for these Thessalonians, but also a challenge for us today to continue in them. To follow that example, to follow the truth that you've laid out to us through Paul. Lord, help us to walk in our personal relationship with you every day, to maintain that peace that can only come through you, to depend upon your grace so that we can continue to serve you. Lord, I pray that the things that we've seen would not be forgotten and vanished away as time continues to move forward, but that each and every one of us would apply these truths to our lives and to continue to serve you according to the truth of your word. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.